first thing is, and probably the most important, is it took a little bit longer than we thought it was going to. Took a little bit longer to write, took a little bit longer to record, and finally it takes quite a long time to talk about. So, all get comfy. The story is really fairly simple. It's probably the simplest story that you could ever come across. It's about one kid, and the kid is sort of a 1965-64 mod of the type that you would have seen in your average Who audience, dancing the dances that used to be around then, the heel-clicking dances, and you know, everything that used to happen. Well, basically, I've tried to make, in the writing of the thing, I've tried to make the kid representative of his whole generation. And characteristically, I've written the group in with major roles. He suffers from a rather curious form of mental atrophy, known as quadrophenia, which is, rather than schizophrenia, his motivations are four-way, and that's so that I could get all the group in, because if it only be schizophrenia, I'd only get two of the band in, you see, and it's not as good like that, because there'd be arguments and fights backstage and all kinds of nonsense. So he's quadrophenic. One part of him, and I felt that, finally, when I looked at it again, that this might be a little bit the way we all were, or maybe still are, split four ways. One part of us, very tough and very determined, very ruthless, and that part is played by Roger. And one part, very romantic and very sort of soft. I mean, the fact that people that have taken 1,000 LSD trips can still go to a film like Love Story and cry their eyes out, that sort of situation. That surprisingly enough, that role is played by John Entwistle. When I say played, I must make this clear. In fact, what happens is that we've, as in Tommy, we don't have people sing specific roles, because Roger's the singer and that's what he does best, so Roger does most of the singing. But just the actual basis from which I've written has been drawing from the parts of the boys' characters, from the characters that I know so well of the guys in the band. The third facet of the boys' character is the insane devil-may-care sort of I'll take anything, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere type of attitude, and that surprisingly is played by Keith Moon. Well, that's the real shocks over for you. The last facet, and I think this is the most interesting of all, this is the one that I drew from my own life, which is obviously the one that I know the best, and without really splitting any hairs about it, obviously it's the life I'm most into at the moment, is my own. And this facet that the boy has is a slight feeling somewhere deep inside that things aren't quite right, and that there must be another answer, and that he feels a certain sort of falseness to the way he's living his life, and perhaps a certain falseness to all the values that he holds most high. In other words, he's becoming interested in certain abstract things, even as the type of Shepherd's Bush mod that he's portrayed as, he still has these feelings of perhaps, I suppose, spiritual insecurity, verging on spiritual desperation. And in a way, the whole album is a study of spiritual desperation in the adolescent. I've been asked actually to select three or four tracks, and I think that maybe it would be a real drag, because there's 16 tracks on the album. I think possibly the best thing to do is to play the last four tracks on the album in a lump. I think this would probably be the best thing to do, because the way we've put the album together is as a sequence of events, like almost like a series of flashbacks. The album opens with the boy whose name, don't laugh, it's not Billy, it's Jimmy. And he's stranded on a rock in the middle of a raging ocean, and the actual album then starts to let you into the series of events that led up to him being there. And we start off with hearing the four themes that represent each facet. There's a song called Helpless Dancer, which represents Roger's part, which is the tough, ruthless part. There's a song called Is It Me For A Moment, which represents John's romantic angle. And then there's a song called Bellboy, which represents the Devil May Care sort of insane side. And there's a song called Love Rain Or Me, which represents the spiritually desperate side of the boy. And these themes are all heard in a song called Quadrophenia, which is the title track. And they're all heard separately, and they're sort of synthesizer orchestrated to the point of film music vulgar decadence. I'm sure you'll like it, but you ain't gonna hear that one. Then there's a track called Cut My Hair, which is when you suddenly you're thrust into the depths of, really, I suppose, the boy's domestic bliss, which is watching his old man eat eels and pie, and his mother, who looks suspiciously like the Queen, drinking large amounts of Guinness. He gets fairly disenchanted with everything. He gets disenchanted, I suppose, with his family and with his work, with his school life, with his girlfriends. He even gets fairly disenchanted with drugs. He gets disenchanted with everything. The only flag that he can still wave, which I proceed to wave fairly vigorously throughout the thing, is the mod flag. In other words, that he feels that being a mod, and the fashion involved in being a mod, and the secrets of being a mod, to be more important than anything else, and this is his last hope. And he decides to go back to Brighton Beach, where he has such great memories of the mod rocker riots that he was involved in the summer before. And we run through a whole series of events where he leaves home, he gets himself a job, he goes to see The Who, and he thinks they're all right. Wish they'd use real gear, though. Smash up real gear, not that plastic stuff. And he gets a job as a dustman, and all sorts of things happen to him. He sort of ends up finally jumping on a train, going down to Brighton, and walking about on the beach, remembering those great days as a mod, way back when rockers were rockers and mods were mods, and rockers were bigger and uglier and tougher and always won. And when The Who were the group that used to play down the Brighton Aquarium. It's a very nostalgic album, you understand, but very forward-looking at the same time. And he finally thinks that he's got the key. He starts to improve. He's still tormented by lots of doubts and worries. He is a good old-fashioned kid. He still loves his family. And he doesn't really blame them for the way he feels. He doesn't blame them for his melancholia. And he appreciates that he's not quite as glamorous as the guy that stole his girlfriend away from him, and that he appreciates that the union is not quite as powerful as it seems first sight. And all his disenchantments with the world and desperation seems to fuse, and he starts to feel that maybe being a mod is really enough after all, as he walks up and down the beach remembering. And then in the distance he sees this lonely figure. A fantastic coincidence. And he says to him, aren't you the guy that used to be the leader of the gang, you know, the bloke that used to dance like Fred Astaire and carry a sawn-off shotgun and all that? And this bloke says, yeah, that's just me. He says, oh, fantastic, I was just thinking about you. He said, what are you doing now? And he says, well, I work in an hotel, don't I? And it turns out, unfortunately, that he isn't the manager. he turns out to be a bellboy, and he's obviously very, very sick, and acts like a subordinate and seems to be resigned to it. Well, this is the last straw for Jimmy, and the first track that I'll play is actually the song Bellboy, which is parts of it are sung incredibly well by Mr. Moon, who plays the bellboy in good old Lionel Bart fashion. And the song following that is a song called Dr. Jimmy, which is where the boy thinks about certain feelings that he's had about his the aggressive times on the street and the romance and all that. And then we hear one of the finest tracks that I've ever been involved with in any music, and that's a track called The Rock, which is the four themes representing each facet join into one. This is really the sort of symbolic thing where the boy's quadrophenia, if you like, is resolved, because he suddenly realises a kind of a point to life, and symbolically the pieces of music all join together, the four themes join together into one theme. And the last thing you hear before a large thunderclap is the four themes joining into one, and then the final track on the album is called Love Rain or Me. I don't really know how I imagine that the boy walks away from the rock, or whether he jumps in the sea, or whether he drowns, or whether he wins or loses or whatever. I haven't really sort of made up my mind about what happens. Maybe I'll leave that to you. You'll be hearing the last four tracks on the album: Bellboy, Dr. Jimmy, The Rock, and Love Rain or Me.